We continue our learning of the Nishmas Tovim Ben Menachem and Chad Yaakov Ben Pinchas Elio. We're in Avos Perakei Mishnah Tezayin. Kol Ahavashi Tuluya B'Davar. Any Ava, any love that's dependent on a particular thing, Batel Davar. If that thing ceases to exist, Batel Ava. So then the Ava will cease to exist. V'she'ena Tuluya B'Davar. If you have a love that's not dependent on anything in particular, Eina Batel La'olam. So that will endure, that will never cease. So the simple understanding of the Mishnah is that if a person has a love, a relationship with someone, but it's not a true friendship, the closeness is based on something, some external factor. Let's say someone loves this person. Oh, he always gives me gifts. He always shares his wealth with me. So that means that's very nice. So the love exists as long as the wealth is low, as long as the person is giving you a gift. If the gifts cease to exist, the person no longer has their wealth or they're not sharing it, so then the love will cease to exist as well. The love will disappear. So that's the simple way to read the Mishnah. But the Bar Tanura and the Rambam learn that there's an extra word batel here. And it should be read like this. Kol ahavashi tuluya bedavar batel. Batel davar betela ahava. The extra word batel means that it's not any ava that's tuluya dependent on a davar, on just a particular matter, versus an ava, a love that's not dependent on a matter, but rather it's an ava that's tuluya bedavar batel, which means if there's a love between people that's dependent on something batel, says the Bar Tanura, she'enam hiskayem, something that does not endure. Kisheyiz batel hadavar, she's Siba Lo So Ava. So when that, whatever that nonsense is, whatever that particular thing is, which is a Dover Batel, which is not something of the Miskayim, not something that endures. Wealth is a great example of that. So if that is gone, Gam Ava Batela. But there's an Ava that's not Tuluya B'Davar Batel. Now, once again, not Ava She'ena Tuluya B'Davar, it's not dependent on anything. But rather an Ava She'ena Tuluya B'Davar Batel, but an Ava that's not dependent on something that's nonsense, something that will not endure, but something that indeed will endure. So then that Ava is Eina Batel Olam. So the difference between the first interpretation and the second is the first one says an Ava, if She'ena Tuluya B'Davar, means it's unconditional. It's not dependent on anything. The second interpretation is saying, no, the Ava that's Eina Batela is an Ava that is Tuluya B'Davar, that's not Batel. Something that it will, where that that item, that thing that it's dependent on will continue to exist. So the Ava will continue to exist because that thing, whatever that thing is, also is something that endures. Now, what are we talking about? So says the Bar Tanura, V'chol Ava She'ena Tuluya B'Davar Batel El B'Davar Kayam. But if the Ava is dependent on not something Batel that does not endure, it's something that does, Kigon, he gives examples. Ava Satzadik V'Chachamim, a love someone has for the righteous, for the wise, Tamidei Chachamim. Eina Batela La'olam, that Ava will not be Batel forever. That will continue to exist. Why? Kishem Shahad Davar Shu Siba La'oso Ava Eina Batel. Just like the matter, that whatever that thing is, which is the reason for the Ava, is not Batel. What does it mean it's not Batel? Which means the wisdom, the teaching, the Torah, the tzaddikim, and the modeling. So that's something that will always exist. Kach ein Ava Batela. So if I love my apartment because it's so quiet, so peaceful, I'm able to learn here without any interruptions, no construction going on upstairs. So if it gets noisy and it's not peaceful, so then I may not love my apartment anymore. But if I love my apartment because it's in Eretz Yisrael is eternal. So then it doesn't matter. It doesn't make a difference. Even if the peace and quiet goes away and I hear noise, construction going on upstairs, the love is still going to endure nonetheless. Then the Mishnah says another possibility. Ezuhi Ava Tuluya B'Davar. Or the Mishnah says, rather, gives the example. Ezuhi Ava Tuluya B'Davar. What is the Ava? What's an example of this? So the Mishnah gives us examples from Tanakh. What's an Ava that's Tuluya B'Davar? Zo Avas Amnon V'Tamar. This was the love between Amnon and Tamar. Not going to go through the entire story, which we read in Sefer Shmuel. Amnon had this passion, had this lust for Tamar, his half-sister, both a son and daughter of David HaMelech, different mothers. And he made believe he was sick, a whole story, and he violated her. And afterwards it says in Shmuel Beis, Perek Yud Gimel, Vayisnoheh Amnon Sinaga Delamod. He had great love for her, but it was a Tuluy Bedavar, based on her beauty. So now and afterwards, it turned to Sinaga Delamod. Now that doesn't mean that every love is going to turn, that's Tuluy Bedavar, turns into hatred. It could be afterwards, whatever that is, in this case, the beauty is no longer there. The relationship is no longer there. Whatever it may be, that ceases to exist. So, okay, so the love may cease to exist. Doesn't mean that someone there's going to be hatred there. But it could be that there's it's neutral. It's indifferent. So Ava, that's Tuluy B'Davar, like Ava, the Ava, the Abnon had with Tamar. In that case, we saw that it dissolved completely. There it says that he hated her afterwards. But that's an example of Ava, that's Tuluy B'Davar. Vishena Tuluy B'Davar. What's an Ava that's not dependent on anything? Or as we said, Bar Tanur's explanation, Shena Tuluy B'Davar Batel, that's not Tuluy in something that's not going to endure, but rather it is something that's going to endure because it's shared values. It's not about anything in particular, but it's something that it is a Davar Sheena Batel, Zoahavas David V'Yonason. This is the love that David had for Yonason. There, Bar Tanura gives the example. He says, "Lahashlim Ritzon Konam." So there's the Bar Tanura, consistent with his position, where the Ava there was, it wasn't that it wasn't Tuluy B'Davar, wasn't that? And maybe that's why he and the Rambam followed that position, that when we say Einu Tuluy B'Davar, we don't mean it's not dependent on anything. Ava of Amnon and Tamar, that was based on lust, beauty, and when that was gone, the Ava was gone. As opposed to where it's unconditional, there's nothing that serves the basis of the love, it's just a closeness and a friendship. No, there was something that it was dependent on a Davar She'eino Batel, something that's not going to go away. And the Bar Tanur says, what's that? The Avas David Yehonasan Lahashlim Ritzon Konam. That is to fulfill the will of their creator. They both had those shared values. The Amar lo Yehonasan the David. What did Yehonasan say to David? Atati el melech al Yisrael. If you know Yehonasan, the son of Shaul, who is the current king, you will be the melech al Yisrael. Vani eyeh lecha l'mishneh, and I'll be second to you. This was a love that they had. In fact, David says as well. It says as well in the pasuk in Shmuel Aleph Perik Yud Ches, the nefesh Yehonasan nikshara b'nefesh David. They were bound. The souls bound together. Vayehavel Yehonasan kenafsho. Yehonasan loved David like he loved himself. The Psukim also describe that the Ahava that David had for Yehonasan was greater than the Ahava for women. So this was a reciprocal relationship of love, an Ahava she'ena tluya b'davar, not dependent on anything. Well, one explanation, not dependent on anything, or maybe not dependent on something that's not batel, but rather dependent on things that will continue to endure. Perek, hey, Mishnah Yud Zayin. This week's parsha. Any machlokas that's the Shem Shemaim will continue to endure. In the end, will endure. V'she'ena l'shem Shem Shemaim, but not l'shem Shemaim, not for the sake of heaven. Ain't shavalis kayem will not endure. Ezui machlokas she'i l'shem Shemaim. What's considered a dispute, a quarrel that is for the sake of heaven? Zo machlokas hil v'shamay. That's the machlokas we have between Hillel and Shammai. Just important to know that Hillel and Shammai themselves, the heads of the academy, who lived at the time of the second Beis HaMikdash, they brought karbonos to the second Beis HaMikdash. Hillel and Shammai only had three disputes. But as we know, their academies, their schools, their yeshivos had many disputes after them. So that's a machlokas l'shem Shammai. Each one, they dispute each other on many issues, certainly their schools. But that each one, we say, with respect to Hillel and Shammai, say, Eilu va'elu divrei Elokim chayim. The words of this group and the words of this group are the words of the living God. Different approaches to Torah, and the Mishnayos speak about, the Gemara speaks about in Masechet Zuvamos at the beginning, that Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, even though they had a difference of opinion with respect to a serious Arayos issue and Yibum issues, nonetheless, as long as they informed each other in advance, what the issue was with the lineage, they married into each other's families and didn't have an issue with that. V'she'ena l'shem shamayim, what's a machlokes? That's not for sake of heaven. Zo machlokes Korach v'chol adaso. This week's parsha, that is the machlokes between Korach v'chol adaso and his congregation. One of the famous, obviously it was not l'shem shamayim, it was a sense of arrogance, Korach and many others wanted to claim ki kol ha'ida kulam kidoshim v'socham Hashem, why are you Moshe and Aaron umadewa why do you elevate yourselves? We're all so holy. He wanted to be the Kohen Gadol. He wanted to be Moshe, the leader, etc. That's a machlokes. That is not l'shem shamayim. Many point to the fact that when it comes to Hillel and Shammai, you're giving me the two sides of the dispute. What's the machlokes? The two parties. The two disputants. You have Hillel and Shammai. So what's a machlokes l'shem shamayim? That's a machlokes Hillel and Shammai. Hillel versus Shammai. What's Shein L'Shem Shamayim? So I would have expected the Mishnah to say, this is Machlokes between Korach and Moshe, or Korach and Moshe and Aaron. But yet it says Korach v'chol adaso. How do we explain that? So one explanation is that Moshe and Aaron weren't parties to the dispute at all. They had no interest in this dispute. They tried to end the dispute, but unfortunately they had to enter it, and Korach and his company were punished, and they did it l'shem shamayim. Others explain that, you know why Korach and Adaso, Moshe and Aaron's not on the other side? Because the real machlokas was Korach and his congregation themselves. Everybody wanted to become Kohen Gadol, wanted to be the leader. So they had their own internal strife, and each one had his own goals. So therefore, in fact, it was a machlokas. If you really want to get to the core of the issue, it was not a machlokas between Korach and Moshe. It was a machlokas between Korach and the rest of the Edah, everybody who desired to be in a position of leadership. Not only that, Korach wanted to be the Kohen Gadol. Dasan Aviram and On Ben Peles, they weren't Kohanim. They were from the Shevet of Reuven. So they were resentful that they didn't have the status of the firstborn, which should have been Reuven's, although it was given to Yosef. So they when they realized that Korach came to dispute Moshe, they joined as well, but they had their own issue with Moshe, and therefore we're going to view this as Korach and his Eidah. They themselves, each one, had a different claim, and that's why we don't say it's Korach and Moshe, but rather Korach v'chol adaso. Rav Lau in his Sefer says, he speaks about getting along, so he says, tefillin are worn on the head and the arm. Each box has a parchment with the four portions of the Torah. We know all four parshios, Kadesh, the Kol Bechor, V'Hayaki, V'Yacha, Shema and Vayim Shemoa, are both in the Shel Rosh and on the Shel Yad. But when it comes to the Shel Rosh, there are four different compartments. And yet on the Shel Yad, all four parshios are written on the same cloth. So why is that so? Because when it comes to the head, the place of thought and contemplation, so there's room for various points of view. But on the arm, which is the instrument of action, of being proactive, so we have to be united in our performance as Torah observant Jews. So there, another message. Something else interesting, the Klei Yakar says a very nice homiletic explanation of what does it mean to have a machlokes l'shem shamayim for the sake of heaven. You have to think about what heaven is. When Hashem created the heavens, it says that he called the Rakia Shamayim. Why did he have to give it another name? What was wrong with Rakia? Why have to call it Shamayim? So the Klei Yakar says like this, he didn't want the heavens to be known by the word Rakia. Rakia means a screen that separates firmament, that separates two objects. That's dispute. We don't want that. So, and in fact, when we speak about Machlokas, Monday is the day of Machlokas. We don't want people to look back at Monday and say, that's why that's Levnei Korach is Monday Shir Shal Yom. It's about the Machlokas was created. But we don't want to remember the Machlokas of Monday. We want to remember in a positive way when the Shamayim was created. What Shamayim? Shamayim is a contraction of the words of Eish and Mayim. So Eish and Mayim together, according to one explanation, that's what Shamayim is made out of. So Shamayim is Eish and Mayim together. So fire and water, the two opposites. And somehow they made peace and joined together to do Hashem's will. The Gemara says the Chagiga Daf Yud Beis, and therefore a dispute for the sake of heaven. That's where two sides join together. So that's the name I want to give it. I want to give it Shamayim and not Rakia, which means that there is a where the dispute remains and there is a screen between the two sides. Two other brief points when it comes to the ahava of that tli b'davar versus any tli b'davar. Rav Lau points out that the word ahava is the gematria is 13, and so is the word echad. It's also gematria 13. A person feels love for Torah, for wisdom, and acts of kindness, so he feels that's really a part of who he is. The love means that there's going to be echad. Echad is echad to Hashem, and that's what many other mefarshim point out, that the Mishnah is representing love that man has for God. Person is willing to do the mitzvos only if his desires will be fulfilled. Hashem will bless him with wealth and with prosperity and other blessings in children, etc. So and only under those circumstances I'm willing to fulfill His will. So then that's an ava hatzliyah b'davar. We have to serve Hashem wholeheartedly, unconditionally, and that way it will be a love that will endure. Finally, Rav Lau quotes from the Shla, who says, we see this in Parshas Toldos. It says, Ve'ahav Yitzchak es Esav ki sayid b'fiv, v'rivka ohav es Yaakov. It says in the Pasuk that Yitzchak loved Esav because he brought him game, he brought him food to eat. So he hunted on his behalf. So that's an ava atulia b'davar. The pasuk tells you why he loved him. And when it came to Rivka heveses Yaakov in a tulia b'davar unconditionally. And what do you see in the pasuk? Vayehav Yitzchak loved in the past Esav. That's an ava. That's tulia b'davar. So then eventually it will be batel. That's if the food is batel. So then the love is going to be batel. But that's why it's in the past. But the Rivka, because it's unconditional. Oh, heveses Yaakov. In the present, that's something that will endure.